بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. We are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity once again of continuing inshallah ta'ala with our Ramadan tafsir in this Aminat School's mosque in Boso, behind the Boso Primary School, I guess, on this first day of Ramadan. And it's a Wednesday, the first of Ramadan, 1447 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. Wa insha'Allah ta'ala, we shall continue from the first verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah. We were able to conclude Surah Al-Nisa last year, even though that one was not here. But I guess we'll not have to go back. We'll just continue from where we stopped, because I know there are people who followed even though it didn't take place here. So inshallah ta'ala, this year we're starting with Surah Al-Ma'idah. Surah Al-Ma'idah is the fifth verse, chapter, sorry, of the Quran. The first is Fatiha, the second is what? Baqarah, the third is Ali Imran, the fourth is Nisa. So now the fifth, Surah Al-Ma'idah. People make the mistake of saying, I have read the Quran from Baqarah to Nas. When you say that, you have not read the full Quran. You have left the greatest chapter of the Quran without including it in the Quran, and that is wrong. That's why people mostly think Baqarah is the first chapter, but it's not. It is the second chapter. The first chapter is what? Surah Al-Fatiha. And even though it's the one that almost everybody can recite, and so people do not see it as being special because everybody can recite it. So people make the mistake of thinking that Surah Al-Fatiha is for children. Everybody knows that. But it's the greatest chapter of the Quran. It's the chapter that without it you cannot recite a credible salah. Unless, of course, you have tried and you are unable to. Then you are excused before the time that you'll be able to recite it. So Surah Al-Ma'idah is the fifth chapter, and we're starting with it inshallah ta'ala today. We're grateful to Allah for yet another Ramadan. We hope that inshallah this Ramadan will be amongst those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free from hellfire and will be guaranteed al-Jannah inshallah ta'ala. We pray that will be amongst those who sins Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive, and that will be able to get to the Laylatul Qadr and the Fadl in it and Ridwan, so that inshallah ta'ala we shall be free from hellfire. This is the greatest thing you can ever hope for. The greatest thing, the thing that is of priority to the Muslim, is freedom from hellfire and admission into Jannah. This is the greatest thing. And we are very hopeful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free us, will not even let us go near hellfire, insha'Allah ta'ala. So Surah Al-Ma'idah has verses. So it's not as long as Surah Al-Baqarah or as long as Al-Imran and even Nisa. It has 120 verses. And without contradiction, without any doubt, it is Madaniyah, meaning that it was revealed in Medina. The fact that it was revealed in Medina is the reason why most of the things we shall be reading, or many of the things we shall be reading in the chapter, will have to do with what? They will have to do with ahkam, ruling. Huh? Ruling. You know ruling? In Hausa you say hukunche hukunche. Huh? So they say that al-hukmu wajibun wa mandubun ma'ama what? Al-hukmu wajibun wa mandubun. Subhanallah, I want to forget that now. Ma'ama ubiha wal makruhu ma'ama hurrima wa ma ubiha wal makruhu ma'ama hurrima. That when we say ruling, we're talking about things that are compulsory, obligatory, things you must do. If you do not do them, you are a sinner. That's one. Then after that, we're talking about things that are mandub. Mandub is simply, I don't want to use big words. Mandub is the thing you are encouraged to do. If you do it, Allah will reward you. If you do not, there is no problem. But if you do, you will be rewarded. That's why they say the wajib is the one that bitarkihi al-iqabu wa bifi'lihi al-thawabu. If you do that which is the wajib, Allah will reward you. If you leave it and you don't do it, then Allah will punish you, or you deserve to be punished. Allah can refuse to forgive you, but at least you deserve to be punished for disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the mandub, there is no punishment, no promise of punishment if you don't do the mandub. They call it supererogatory. Supererogatory, I was avoiding that word. But simply what you are encouraged to do. That's the mandub. Then there is the mubah. Mubah is, if you like, you do it. If you don't like, no problem. If you do the mandub, you'll be rewarded. But mubah is just halal. An example of it is, you are allowed to eat if you want to. If you choose not to eat, no problem. Huh? If you choose not to eat, no problem. As long as you do not die as a result of that. If you die as a result of that, you are a sinner, because you must not kill yourself. But if you don't feel like eating, nobody forces you to eat. It's what you do when you feel like doing it. So some people will eat once a day and it will be enough for them. Some people will have to eat 5 times a day, and that one is just managed the way Nigerians manage. When you say you are a manager in Nigeria, you are not like the bank manager, you are just hanging on to life. But other places, if you say you are a manager, they'll think you are a big man. It's only if you say you are managing in Nigeria that they understand what you're talking about. Especially if they look at you, they know that yes, you mean that you're just hanging on to life. So people are different, and so their rulings are different. Now, so mubah is you're allowed. You can farm, you can choose that what you want to do is be a farmer. Nobody will force you. Or you can just choose to rear cattle, or you can choose to be a mechanic and so on. The only time it becomes haram is when you do that which Allah does not permit you to do. Like you want to sell beer to live for a living. That's not permissible. But any trade that is permissible, you can choose anyone. So those are halal. Then makruh are those ones that you are discouraged from doing. They are frowned at. But we cannot outright say that they are haram. But it is frowned at. You are not encouraged to do so. Can you give me one example? Can anyone give us one example of makruh? If your brother divorces his wife and she finishes her idda, is it haram to marry her? Huh? But are you encouraged to marry her? Eh? Are you encouraged to marry her? Huh? No. So that will be what? You cannot say it's haram. It's not haram. But then you cannot also say that you are encouraged to marry her. And you will not even leave it at halal alone. You say that it is makruh. It's better not to do it. Why? Because it's most likely to lead to trouble. Huh? It's now going to turn your brother into your enemy. This is not compulsory that you marry her. But you know that if you do, it is permissible to do it, but then there is a consequence which is not good, then it's better to avoid it. Huh? That is what Malikiya takes into consideration, and they have something they call Saddul Dari'a. If something they fear that the thing is going to take you to haram, then they tell you don't do it. But you see, the problem with their Saddul Dari'a is that sometimes they go to the extreme. They get to the level that they make you see that thing as though it were haram, when they are only thinking that it may take you to haram. Instead of explaining the thing to you, they simply make it look as if you must not do it, which is going to the extreme. But then, if you know things that will cause more trouble than good, then in Islam it's better that we avoid them. Then there is the haram outright. One example of haram. Everybody knows haram. One example of haram. You. What is haram? You. Do you know anything that is haram? You don't. Baturanti? Yeah? Baturanti? Okay, it's all right. So, one example. Somebody give us one example of haram. Zina, why? How? Where? Huh? Allah says wala taqrabu az-zina. So why did I ask you why you said it is haram when I knew it was haram? I'm trying to tell us that nobody declares anything haram except Allah or the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Even if you do not see it in the Quran, but the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says it is haram, then it is haram. Why? Why do we say that the messenger of Allah can declare something haram even when it's not in the Quran? The Quran itself explains. The Quran calls him al-Nabiyyu al-Ummi alladhi yajidunahu before fit tawrati al-Nabiyyu al-Ummi. That's what I wanted you to say. Alladhi yajidunahu maktuban indahum fit tawrati. So what does he do? I can't hear you. You are not audible. We just started fasting today, or what? Subhanallah. Will you get to 15 at all? I'm not hearing you. يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر. That's the one I wanted. ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث. You see the Quran? The Quran has said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam will tell you that which is halal and that which is haram. And Allah simply says he makes lawful for them. He makes lawful for them that which is good. And then he forbids for them. He makes unlawful for them that. So it's as if it's the Prophet himself that is doing it. But it's actually with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because it came through him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he does that. So these ahkam are the things that mostly we will see in this surah. It is good to prepare your minds like that. Because like we always say, if you're reading any surah, it's important to know first of all where it was revealed. So that when you see some commands in the surah, you'll be able to know what they are talking about. You'll be able to say, okay, in this surah, for instance, Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. So woe betide the mushrikeen, the polytheists, who do not give zakah. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. So when you say this ayah is saying, anybody who does not give zakah is a mushrik, it's a kafir. Is that correct? It's not. First of all, Allah tells you he's talking about the mushrikun. And then he says zakah, but then he says, and they do not believe in the last day. So he's not talking about Muslims. The Muslims who do not give zakah, they believe in the last day. They believe in the last day, but they do not give zakah. Not because they do not believe it's compulsory, but they are just miserly. They don't want to give, they are stingy. They don't want to give anything of theirs. Or they think it's too much. It is said that somebody's zakah was calculated. He said the ulama should come and calculate his what he has, and then let him see how much he has to give as zakah. So when they calculated, and then they brought him the figure, he said, is this all that I have? They said, no, that is what you give as zakah. Say, what? All of this, I will give away. They said, yes. They said, no, I'm not giving zakah again. So you see, this one believes zakah is compulsory. It's just that he thinks the money is too much, so he's reluctant to give. There's no problem, I know it's an offense, but... So you can't say that one is a Muslim. So how do you rate this verse now? First of all, you look at the chapter. In which chapter was it revealed? Then you'll be able to know that that chapter is not talking about ruling. So it's not talking about the zakah of wealth. What is it talking about? It is talking about the zakah of the heart. Purification of the heart. They do not worship Allah alone. They do not have tawheed. So it's not talking about the zakah of money. That's why it's also very important for us who want to get into the Quran to understand at least the basics of Arabic language. It's important too, because the Quran is in Arabic. So you don't just get the translation and think that you are now learned, you can do the exegesis of the Quran on your own. That's where the people that call themselves Quraniyun, the Shaytaniyun, that's the big mistake that they make. And that's where they go astray. They say that the Quran is sufficient for them and they do not need any explanation. But then it's not possible that the Prophet ﷺ existed without explaining any ayah of the Quran. It's not possible. He explained verses of the Quran. How do you know that? You have to go to the hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Since you did not live at the same time with him, but at least you now see the things that his Sahaba reported from him. And those will explain to you what the Quran means, insha'Allah ta'ala. So that in this surah, I'm simply saying that we will deal with ahkam, the rulings on things. This is haram, this is halal, this is permissible, this is that. We will see that a lot. All of this surah is madaniya, except as some ulama say, the saying of Allah, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, Fa'innaha Lazalat Li Arafat, because it was revealed in Arafah. But if it was revealed in Arafah, does it make it Makkiya? Yeah? That's why I said, as some ulama say. Does it make it Makkiya? No. If you say a verse is Madaniya, it doesn't mean that the verse, the ayah, was revealed in Medina town. No. But it was revealed after the migration. Once the Muslims had migrated from Mecca to Medina, before any ayah was revealed, we call it Madaniya. Wallahu ta'ala alam. It is reported on the authority of Abu Maysara that he said, أنزل الله تعالى في هذه السورة 18 حكما لم ينزلها في غيرها. He says there are 18 rulings in this chapter. You will not get those rulings in any other chapter. So when we get to such rulings, don't let us pass them until you have understood them, because you will not see them in another surah. Once we pass them here, they do not occur in any other chapter. So the first one is قوله تعالى والمنخنقة والموقوذة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيتم وما ذبح على النسل وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام. How many have you taken here? How many rulings have you taken here? Were you counting them? Did you count? والمنخنقة حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم. That one it occurs elsewhere. That's why he didn't mention it.
No.
ولحم الخنزير. That one occurs elsewhere. That's why he didn't mention it. Aha. وما
أهل
أهل
لغير الله
به. Ah.
No.
Then all of those they occur in other surah. So he didn't mention them here. So he starts with والمنخنقة والموقوذة والمتربية. That's how many?
Three.
والنطيحة. That's how many?
Four.
وما أكل السبع. Five. إلا ما ذكيتم. No. وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيتم. That's what? Five. Huh? Uh-huh. وما ذبح على النسب. وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام. Seven, right?
Yeah.
Good. Then, وَمَا عَلَّمْتُمْ مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ مُكَلِّبِينَ تُعَلِّمُونَهُنَّ. How many are here? Only one. Only one. That's how many?
Eight
now. وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ. How many are these?
One.
Yeah? We have one.
One.
Okay. وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ. These are two different ones.
No.
Huh? Okay. Min qablikum.
No.
So how many do we have now?
11.
11. إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة.
No.
That's another ruling.
Mm-hmm.
To the end. والسارق والسارقة. That's another one. لا تقتلوا الصيد وأنتم حرم. ما جعل الله من بحيرة ولا سائبة ولا وصيلة ولا حام.
نعم.
How many of these now? وقوله شهادة بينكم إذا حضر أحدكم الموت. So all of these are rulings that you will not find in some other surah.
نعم.
Except in this surah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us, and may it be beneficial to us, all that we're going to learn here. So we say, Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una, wanfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilma. Because we are about to get into very serious matters. Ahkam are very serious matters. Because once you say this is haram, when it is not haram, you are committing shirk. You know that? Huh?
No.
Because you are now giving yourself the position of Allah. Huh? You are now giving yourself the position of Allah. Only Allah will declare something haram. That's why instead of declaring something haram, it's better you say you don't know. If you are not sure, you better say you don't know. If you are not very sure that this thing is haram, don't use your inklings, I think, I believe, it appears to me. Don't use that in ruling. You don't represent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. You don't. Nobody stands in place of Allah. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a lot of times he was asked questions and he refused to answer. And there were times that the Sahaba said, if we had known, we would not have asked him, because it appears that we have put him under pressure. But he keeps quiet, sometimes for days, until an ayah is revealed, then he comes out and says, where is that person that asked me concerning so and so? Now Allah has revealed the verse. That's how a Muslim is supposed to be. But the thing that I will see Muslims do now. May Allah forgive us. But we transgress a lot. We pass fatwas the way we wish, because we do not see it as an issue that could get to aqeedah. We see it as furu, you know, it's just fiqh, it's just jurisprudence, it's not theology. So you can say whatever you want there. No. Wallahi, you can't. ولا تقولوا لألسنة لما تصف ألسنتكم
هذا
الكذبة. That's what the one I was waiting for. هذا حلال وهذا حرام. Do not ever get into such. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be our guide. So Allah says,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفخه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعقود أحلت لكم بهيمة الأنعام إلا ما يتلى عليكم غير محل الصيد وأنتم حرم إن الله يحكم ما يريد.
الله سبحانه وتعالى قال أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفخه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعقود أحلت لكم بهيمة الأنعام إلا ما يتلى عليكم غير محل الصيد وأنتم حرم إن الله يحكم ما يريد. الله says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, some ulama prefer to say, O you who have believed, because they want to take amanu as factor. So they say, O you who have. If you say, and some will say, O you who believed, now that is wrong. If you say believe, you are putting it in the past. That means they no longer believe now. You see, one of the problems that we run into when we want to translate, sometimes we translate literally. Literal translations are mostly wrong. You lose the meaning of what you want to translate if you are too literal. You have to take the language that you're translating into consideration when you want to render it into another language. Then you also have to understand the language that you're rendering it into. And you have to understand its philology, you have to understand its morphology, you have to understand its grammar, you have to understand its syntax, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on. You have to understand all of those before you'll be able to put it in good context. If not, if you cannot understand all of that, like Muhammad al-Amin al-Shankisi would say, once you have an authentic hadith that tells you the meaning of a verse, you are covered. So if you are able to get authentic hadith for each verse that you're going to translate, you are covered. Or at least you get the explanations of ulama who are certified fit to do it. You get their explanations and you understand their explanations, then you are covered to a large extent. So all you who believe is better than all you who have believed, but then all you who have believed is better than all you who believe. All you who believe is wrong. Because it means you are saying the person believed before. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُ. So that's because they believed, but now they have become kuffar. So those are the ones who believe. But then those who believe, it is continuous, right? Which one is better? Who have believed or who believe? Huh? Who believe is better? Because it's simple and it just shows your iman is continuous. Huh? But if you say you have believed, it's okay because it also shows that you are still a believer, but it may not always show so. So, but the safest one is to say you believe, your belief is continuous. You may think that this explanation of mine is unnecessary, but you will discover, inshallah, at the time that it is necessary that we make these things clear like this. Because of reasons, inshallah, we shall later discover. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, awfu bil uqood, fulfill your obligations. If you have come into agreement with the people, sometimes it is called what? A pact, isn't it? In some cases it is called a resolution, like UN resolution. It's after meetings are held and then some matters are resolved. We say, okay, we resolve that this shall be taken like this. For instance, if somebody is a diplomat, which means that he is representing his country in another country. For instance, you say he cannot be imprisoned in that country. He cannot be arrested in that country. I'm saying for instance. I'm not saying I'm sure that that is written. And things like that. You say such things cannot be done to him. If he commits an offense, yes, he may be arrested, but not in prison, for instance. Or he may not be jailed by the country. Instead, he should be handed over to his embassy, for instance. I hope you understand, I keep saying for instance, because I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not speaking as an authority. I'm just saying in case there are such, so if there are such agreements, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Muslims should respect them. Muslims should respect them. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu awfu bil uqood. Fulfill your obligation. If you have entered into an agreement with any people, then respect that agreement. If you have made promises, do not renege on those promises. As some ulama say, it includes any promise, any agreement between two people. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, if two people come together and pray and agree to exchange service for money, or good for good, trade by barter, or good for money, and so on. I'm going to give you this, you give me money. So I'm going to give you this and you give me your cap, for instance, and so on. Once two Muslims have agreed like that, and the agreement is sealed, then the deal is done. So one person cannot say, no, give me back that thing, I am no longer selling. No. Once the deal is sealed, Opari, the door is closed. But before the deal is done, you have a right to bargain. Once you have agreed, that's all. So two Muslims will have to stand on their conditions that they have given. Once this condition is fulfilled, then this is this. Then, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, awfu bil uqood. Then he said, أحلت لكم بهيمة الأنعام إلا ما يتلى عليكم غير محل الصيد وأنتم حرم. It's been made lawful for you. What? بهيمة الأنعام. The beast that you have that are domesticated. Beasts of the An'am. Which are those? The ones that have been made lawful for you. Which are those? The ulama say, once you hear Bahimatul An'am in rulings and ahkam in the Quran, they are talking about we limit them. Because in some other cultures, the things you have domesticated, which you call your beast, might be very many. But to us, the ones that we know are what? Goats, sheep, cattle, and camel. Do elephants fall in this category? No, they do not. They do not. But do oxen fall into this category? An ox, is it the same as the cows we know here? Huh? What of buffalo? Huh? It's not the same as the cow we know here. So, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Bahimatul An'am, will you include buffalo because it looks like the cow? Or will you not? Ulama have disagreed on this. Some ulama say you can include those because they are all cows and they have the same ruling. Some say no, you cannot. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So, أُحِلَّتْ لَكُمْ بَهِيمَةُ الْأَنْعَامِ إِلَّا مَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ. So those ones are made lawful for you, except that which will be recited unto you. So anyone that Allah says this is not permissible, then it's not permissible. But anyone that Allah says is permissible, then it's permissible. So, is there any camel that is not permissible? Is it possible that camel is not permissible for us? Because it says, Illa ma yutla alaykum, right?
No.
Is there any cow that will not be permissible for us? Huh? Still. Is there any? Is there any time that goats will not be permissible? Huh? I want us to interact now, and you are all keeping quiet. Is it the Ramadan? Huh? Is there any time that it will not be permissible?
No.
Huh?
No.
There is. Which goat is not permissible? Yes? Gotter.
Unslaughtered.
So I cannot eat it when it is alive. What is it called in English? Huh? Uh-huh. Carrion. Even though you say carrion. Huh? Maybe your pronunciation is more correct. Huh? Carrion. Everybody knows carrion. Huh? So you see, Allah is saying, accept that which I will recite unto you. What does this show? You do not establish anything as haram until Allah has said so. Or until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said so. You don't decide. So he says, these are permissible for you, except those things that I tell you are not permissible. So you have to wait for Allah to tell you by himself which ones are permissible and which are not. The ones that Allah does not tell you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell you. غير محل الصيد وأنتم حرم. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even those things that are permissible unto you, you must not catch as game. That is, you must not hunt when you are in the state of ihram. Meaning, if you are not in a state of ihram, apart from those ones that have been made permissible for you, there are others in the wild that are permissible unto you to hunt. So this ayah is also saying hunting is permissible. It is permissible for you to hunt, and whatever you hunt down, if Allah has permitted you to eat that, then it's permissible for you to catch it through hunting and eat. And when you hunt an animal, the way that you kill it and eat is not the same conditions that they have with the ones at home. Like when you want to eat camel, or when you want to eat ram, or when you want to eat goat. What is the male goat called? The male, what is it called? The female is goat. Okay, bunsuru. Okay. So we just call it bunsuru in English. He goat is, I understand that is Nigerian English. What do you call it? Billy. Are you looking around to see if there's somebody that they call Billy? So, this ayah is telling us hunting is permissible also. And there are some things that we will see that you can catch through hunting and eat. But when you are not in ihram. What is the state of ihram? Inshallah ta'ala, we will learn all those as we go on. Inna Allah yahkumu ma yurid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rules as He will, as He pleases. So nobody decides for Allah how to rule and what to rule. Whether to call this permissible or not permissible, you don't decide for Allah. So it's wrong for you, for instance, to say, this thing I want to do it, and you are saying it's haram. I want you to find me, even if it is a weak hadith, that allows me to do it because I want to do it. Have you heard somebody say that? Somebody divorced his wife 3 times and now he wants her like no man's business. And then they say you cannot marry her until she marries somebody else. So you will say, oh sad, even if it's a weak hadith, just find me one hadith, even if it's a lie, that says that I can bring her back, so that I will just bring her back. It's only non-Muslims that do that. Muslims do not do so. What do the Muslims do? Sami'na wa ata'na. Once Allah has ruled, inna Allah yahkumu ma yurid. And so we leave it as that. There is trouble that people get into these days. When an alim tells you this thing is haram, and he brings you a hadith, he's not telling you that it is haram in his opinion. Then people will start saying, hey, leave them, Yare, those ones, they will make life impossible for you. Everything haram, haram, haram. So you now that do not consider it haram, who made it halal for you? It is your will. But remember, as a Muslim, what is halal is what Allah has made halal. Inna al-halala bayyin. وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ. What Allah has made halal is clear. What Allah has made haram is clear. You do not get into those. You just take them as Allah gives them to you. Whether you understand the wisdom behind that ruling or not, just accept that Allah knows and you do not know. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. But when you begin to question ruling, that could affect your aqeedah, that could make you a kafir. Because the difference between the kafir and the Muslim is ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ. For the kafir, the unbelievers, they hate that which Allah has revealed. They despise it. They do not like it. That which Allah has revealed. They quarrel with the revelation of Allah, with the ayat of Allah, with the ahadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. That's the difference between the kafir and the Muslim. As for the Muslim, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. That's what the Muslim says. So we must take that as a qaida, as something that we put behind our back, that this is how the Sharia works. Because we are going to see ruling, and so we must understand first of all that Allah rules as He wills. It does not have to agree with your thinking, with your will. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. If you deny your soul, its will, its caprices, its desire, you deny yourself your own selfish desire, and you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. You obey Allah, and then you deny yourself your desire. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. You are the one who deserves al-Jannah. May we be amongst those who deserve al-Jannah. It's time for us to stop now. So we'll stop here insha'Allah ta'ala today. The agreement we had was that we'll be doing this tafsir today and we rest tomorrow. We do it next day, we rest again. So that means we'll meet on Friday. Inshallah, I'll see if I can come tomorrow. But if I jump any day, know that it is the agreement. And we have just said that we should respect our agreement. We have agreed that we will respect our agreements, haven't we? So inshallah, we'll see tomorrow, and then we'll continue to see what the ulama say about the explanations of this ayah. May Allah forgive our mistakes. If we said anything right, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us for it and accept our fast. Naam. Can you read it for me? If Allah accepts all prayers, better now. If Allah accepts all prayers, but a person's repeated dua seems unanswered, could it mean Allah has a better plan or alternative answer that's unknown to the person? You have already answered the question. So this is no longer a question. Allah answers prayers in many ways. Most of the ways the human being does not ordinarily understand. And that is because Allah is not a human being. When your child is a human being like you, only that your thinking faculty is superior to his, isn't it? Have you discovered that? Okay, let me tell you, my mother died about 3 weeks ago. You all know that. Before she died, she used to call me that child. Some of you are looking at me here as a grandfather, isn't it? Huh? Or some as a father. But she used to call me that child. Because to her, I'm a child. You know, here, when we say child, it's different from when we say boy or young man. Huh? You know, some people get offended when somebody says, Yaronna. But once somebody is older than you, especially the person who has given birth to you, you are always that boy to him. I remember one old man was telling me something. We were discussing with him. He was very old, was old enough to be my great-grandfather, very old man. We were sitting with him, and then somebody passed. So he said, that boy is enjoying life because he doesn't do anything again for a living. Everything is done for him. He's just sitting and enjoying life. So he said, look at that boy there. He said, I should look at him. We were sitting by his house, and he said the boy was walking on the road. So I looked at the road, I said, that boy must have taken a bend because I can no longer see him. He said, look at him walking there. I said, no, there is no boy there. He said, see a boy, see that one in Agbada with cap. I said, is it that one with gray beard? He said, yes now, is not my son. I said, but you can call him a boy because you are older. Maybe your son is even older than him. But that is my grandfather. I cannot call him a boy. So that's how it is. So when you are with your son, you always look at his reasoning as that of a child. He's always a young person to you, even when he is feeling that he has grown. So there are some things that you still believe if you tell him you will not understand. Because he has not gotten to the age at which he will understand what you're saying. So you just simply give it to him as a command and ask him to do it without having to explain to him why it should be done. Because you say you will understand later. But if you have small children, 5 years old, 3 years old, it's better for you to understand that there are a lot of things they want you to do that you cannot do. They will never understand why you don't want to do those things. Because they have not yet gotten to that level. So that's human beings now, I'm totally telling you about. But Allah is not a human being. That's why he keeps telling us, Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. There is nothing like unto him. Nothing is comparable to Allah. So if it is so, Allah knows the things that you may never know. And your thinking faculty cannot take those things. So when he says to you, do this thing, or you say to him, do this thing for me, he knows it's not good for you. You will never know. You will not understand how it will not be good for you. You know, when you wanted to marry one beautiful girl you saw, and your father said, do not marry her, what did you say? Father, I must marry her. Say, my son, don't marry her. There are some things that he will not be able to tell you because he knows you will not understand. He just simply says, if you listen to me, do not marry that girl. You say, but father, why? He says, just don't marry her. You will never understand. There's a cousin of mine that wanted to marry a girl like that. His mother said, don't marry her. Yeah, that's old people's talk. He went and married her. And somehow she told him, when you have had children with her, she will run away with those children. He said that's a primitive way of thinking. That's, forget about her. So he went ahead and married her. And he had two male children with her. Now he doesn't know where those children are. So how did the mother know that she was going to run away with those children? Eh? Does she know the unknown? No. So how does she know? Experience. Eh? She has seen a lot more than him. So she'll be able to look at some people, look at some things about them and say, I don't trust this person. For reasons. There are ulama that you bring a girl, you say you want to marry. They will look at the girl and say, don't marry this one. It's not for you. You will never understand why. And he will, unfortunately, he will not be able to tell you why. You go and marry her and then you find out something terrible later. So when you say, Allah, do this for me, Allah knows the thing is no good for you. So simply Allah says, Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. So the way Allah answers some prayers is that He will not grant you what you want. He will change it with something that is good for you. And He will not give you that one. If you are patient and you submit to His ruling, Allah will forgive your sins as a result of your obedience. So when you say you have prayed to Allah and He has not answered, change that. Change that statement. He has not answered in the way that you wanted Him to answer. And that's because He knows what you do not know. Have I answered this question? So there is no prayer that He doesn't answer unless you have not met the conditions for your prayers to be answered. You know one of the conditions? If your earning is haram, if you earn money through haram means, you steal people's money, or you sell alcohol and things like that, then you are not qualified to have Allah answer your prayer. Or if there is somebody, a Muslim, that you have deserted, meaning you do not greet the person, you two do not see eye to eye. When you meet, you do not even greet. You just pass each other. You are enemies. And you never talk to each other. You have sworn, you have done this. If you are like that, then Allah will not answer your prayer. So unless there are such hindrances, Allah answers every prayer. But He may not answer them in the way that you want. So once you have prayed, believe that Allah has answered. And He is going to give you that which is the best for you. If that thing you have asked for is the best for you, maybe the time to give you is not yet right. So when it's time, you will get it. If that thing is no good for you, He will never give you that thing. He will give you something else. So but always be positive when you have prayed that inshallah, Allah has accepted that prayer. So do not believe that there is a prayer that Allah has not answered. Do not always have that at the back of your mind. Unless of course you know you are not qualified to have your prayers answered. I hope I've answered that question. Huh? And that's the only one we'll be able to answer. Huh? Time is up. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue. May Allah assist us. May Allah forgive our sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return security to this nation. All this insecurity, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rid us of all those problems. May He forgive our sins and pardon us, because we know our sins are plenty. And that's why some of these things are happening. But we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take these chains off our necks and return security to our nation. May Allah guide our leaders. May Allah forgive our parents, those who are dead and even those who are alive. Because people who are alive also need Allah's forgiveness. So may Allah forgive our parents. May Allah bless our efforts. May Allah guide us. May Allah guide our children. May Allah guide our wives. May He reward them for all the trouble they take care of us. And may He also give us the means to take care of them. بِرَحْمَتِهِ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. There are some people I have not seen and I'm still looking around. I hope all is well.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm?
Yeah.
There are some people I'm supposed to see here that I have not seen.
Yeah.
I hope they are all well.
Yeah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.